at the beginning of the game, there's this bit where they're like, we're going to help import arms for a country that is under a ruler that is dictatorial and is oppressing his people in East Asia.
Yeah.
And it's just like, do you mean North Korea? I'm not going to say the country.
Right.
I'm just going to...
Warning. The following podcast is intended for immature dads only. Listener discretion is advised. This is Dad's Game Review, the most casual hardcore gamers around. Reviews and news from every platform. We waste our time so you don't have to.
A man with a face, John.
Yes,
Anderson.
A man who has not erased his face, nor
yes.
Can they. But maybe I should, honestly. You right. know, if I get into problems with a rival faction of the Yakuza, then maybe I have to make like a dragon and
leave.
Get out of here, yeah.
It's funny how we both thought the same thing, you know, joke like from Back to the Future.
Yes, yes, the same cultural touchstones.
The guy who played, I was showing Back to the Future 2 to my kids, and it was funny how the old guy tries to correct Biff throughout the thing. Yes. And he's like, it's leave, you idiot, you sound like a moron, you know?
Well, he's like, all right. Yeah, it's honestly... A really cool bit of character building where it's like the dumb bully, when he grows up, he's just wiser.
Right.
You know?
He's like, I can't believe, like, he's just trying to fix, like, I can't believe, you know, like the things we think in our head, like, I can't believe I used to. He's just, you know, it is pretty funny that way. I mean, the movie still wasn't that good, but. You know.
Yeah, it definitely is the middle child of the franchise.
Yeah, definitely.
And, yeah. Definitely. I mean, really cool ideas. And I felt genuinely scary at some points, especially when he ends up in the alternate 1985.
You know what cracks me up is the first one was great.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that when you watch it again, like I did, I watched all three. And you just kind of go along and you go, where's all the attention to, like, a car exploding into thin air? Like, what? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's 3 a.m. I get it.
Yeah.
But the next day, none of that's there. Like, I mean, or in 1885... In 1885, nobody notices this massive pot of boiling water levitating and then escaping into infinity. Like, just little things that you nitpick on.
I feel like it can be hand-waved. Because, yeah. I mean, I got up to some craziness in Red Dead Redemption. And right. I don't think anyone would believe the stuff that you get up into in those games either. It's like, yeah, well... That's what some people said, but they hit the moonshine a little too hard, too. So who's to say what's really true?
Right, right, yeah.
But what about all the structural damage to that bridge and everything? Well,
yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, like, just, okay, all right, we're just gonna like, let that pass, you know, these... Speaking of things that we think happened, like they recreate the West and that's what they think. But speaking of those things, we joke that it's called The Man Without a Face, but that's only what I kept saying because I couldn't remember, like a dragon, the man who erased his name. And this is a 2023 action-adventure video game developed by Ryuga Gotoku Studio and published by Sega. And it's a spin-off of Like a Dragon series.
And the Like a Dragon series is the Yakuza series. It's been recently renamed to Like a Dragon.
Ah, So, because everybody on, you know, not everybody, but, you know, the people in the people that we follow on Twitter are like, that's it, I'm going to play Like a Dragon, infinite wealth, you know?
Yeah. and to be to their credit, they are referring to the franchise by its new name, not by its old name. You know, I respect that. But for someone like me who's never played this before, I'm like, wow, this franchise came out of nowhere.
Yeah,
it was Yakuza.
That's what I was thinking. And then, when we first started playing it, I thought that this was, like, not brand new, but I just thought it was, like, something out of nowhere. I thought it was a standalone. But then when I started seeing it, everybody was like, well, I'm going to try Infinite Wealth. Let's see how this goes. I'm going to stream this tonight. And I was like, why does that game sound like the one we're playing?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because behind the scenes, Paul's like, yeah, I'm thinking about playing this Like a Dragon game. And I thought you were referring to Infinite Wealth. And then you're like, but there's this other game that came out last year. And, you know, it's pretty affordable right now. And I said, okay, we'll play that one. And because I've never played one of these Yakuza games. And everyone's like, oh, dude, you got to play the Yakuza games.
Right.
Yeah. And so I think in true Dad's Game Review fashion, this is a game that splits us right down the middle.
I did not like it. I didn't. You know, and I always feel like I have to apologize every time I say I don't like a game because I don't feel. This game reminds me of what Americans think Japanese people think Americans think they do all day. Like, you just go into alleys and just start fights. And of course he's a ninja. He's got a lasso that just comes out of his wrist like Spider-Man and you can beat people with. And just problems everywhere. Everywhere. You know, just all of them are just know the fine art of martial arts, which typically is not something that they use every single day. But let's throw that in there. And, you know, that's like we were just talking about with Back to the Future. It was like, of course, you know, this is what Americans think a Western was like back then. High noon, every day. They had a problem, let's shoot it out.
Yeah. So these games are open world exploration games. Well, maybe not much to exploration, but there's a heavy open world element. Very, very story driven. Lots of different characters, tons of voice acting, lots of intrigue, and a lot of martial arts and a ton of fighting.
Yes.
But at its core, it's a role-playing game.
It's a Japanese John Wick.
It's so funny. I want to go on a big old tangent because this game is, and this style of game, first came into prominence in the early thousands. On the Dreamcast, there was a game that was developed by a video game auteur, quote-unquote. But no, actually, I would argue he is an auteur. A guy named Yu Suzuki, and the game was Shenmue. It came out for the Dreamcast. Did you ever play that one, Paul?
Yes. That's the go-to that everybody talks about when they talk about Dreamcast.
It's a great game.
It is. It was. Yeah. I mean, I loved it.
I don't know how well it's aged. So Shenmue 2 is the first game I ever imported and actually had to, like, do maneuvers on my Dreamcast to be able to play the Japanese version because I wanted to play the sequel so bad.
Yeah, yeah.
And they didn't release the sequel in America until, like, 15 years later.
Yeah.
But Shenmue is also a open-world game that takes place in Japan. And it is a bit more grounded than Yakuza, at least what we played, in the sense that it's a lot of walking around, it's a lot of talking to people, and it's like, it's like, Hideki-san, do you know about the men who killed my father? Oh, I don't know, Dio. It's difficult for me to remember. And they would have all these just dialogues, and you can look it up.
I'll take your word for it.
But there's also like a whole bunch of random things where it's like, oh, I'm going to get some Japanese soda that's clearly branded after something that exists in Japan for real. And I'm going to play different pachinko games, and I'm going to play all these little mini games, and I'm going to be able to play Sega games in the arcade that are from the era.
Like, just the even the arcade, like, said Pega or something. Like, it just...
Well, actually, even I mean, they had officially licensed Sega games in Shenmue, and they have the same thing here in Like a Dragon.
Right.
So there's a direct lineage to it. But, Paul, do you want to tell us a little bit about the plot of Like a Dragon? The man who erased his name?
I cannot. Do you know why? Because there is so much talking. Look, I like talking just as much as the next guy. I have my own podcast, after all. I talk to you all the time. I'm glad that there's context of what's going on. But a lot of it is just over and over. Like, you couldn't skip it. You could skip it, but you can only skip that sentence. So you find yourself spamming the X button on your PlayStation just to get past the story. You're like, I get it. Revenge. You're Japanese. It's honor. You get, you know, let's go. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Let's play the game. Every scene had like this drawn out story where you had to sit down and pull out a cigarette and be like, he was a good man. You know, like, just keep going. Just keep going. Stop talking. Yeah. That's my word of the day. Stop talking.
I mean, look, this was actually the big complaint about Shenmue back in the day, too. So I played that game, and then I went out of my way to import the second game. So going into a Like a Dragon game like this, I was like, oh, this is great. Get myself out of Coke. Going to sit back and let them talk for a while.
Yeah.
Before the show started, Paul and I were trying to figure out how far Paul got in, and it's like, did we get to the part where at the beginning of the game, there's this bit where they're like, we're going to help import arms for a country that is under a ruler that is dictatorial and is oppressing his people in East Asia.
Yeah.
And it's just like, do you mean North Korea? I'm not going to say the country.
Right.
I'm
just going to... But everything... The gameplay even was, like, annoying. Because the people you were fighting didn't die. Like, I don't know. It's been a while since I took a punch to the face. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't usually last that long before you fall down.
Right.
I don't care who you are. You could be whoever, you know, you could be Jason Momoa. You're still going to fall eventually. And the amount of times you have to punch somebody to get them to fall, and then they're not dead. Their energy, their stamina, very impressive. Very impressive. MMA fighters should only dream of having this kind of stamina.
They're walking around Japan all day, Paul.
Yeah.
Eating right, taking care of themselves. We're falling behind as Americans.
Just this episode is going to be playfully stereotypical. Like, Japanese people just walking around eating their white rice and their chopsticks. And they have a lot of energy. They have a lot of energy. They just don't.
So this game is, it's a beat-em-up, essentially.
Yeah.
But it's got heavy role-playing game elements. And, you know, honestly, I was wondering how you'd react to this game, because it does remind me of the other John Wick beat-em-up game that we played.
The Midnight Express one.
Midnight Express, yeah.
Midnight Fight Express, sorry.
Thank you.
I thought of that almost instantly when I got into a fight scene. And it just, that's why I call it the Japanese John Wick. Because it's more accurate in, it's more closely related, no, sorry. It more resembles closer to John Wick than the Fight Express did. And I say that only by the fighting, because you're punching a guy in the face and you quickly turn around and just take care of a couple of people behind you and go back to punching the other guy in the face like a speedball.
Mm-hmm.
Punching bag. You could also jump around, and you could also sling these imaginary webs.
It's like a spider web thing.
That I didn't know. I originally, when it first happened, I thought I actually picked something up off the ground. But they don't explain that until later. They're like, oh yeah, by the way, you have this ability. And you're like,
yes, because you work with the Daidoji, you'll have access to the special weapon that you can use.
You're like, thanks. It almost freaked me out when I was punching this guy and this shrinking flying out of my fist. The guy,
yeah.
It's just like as if, like, you know, I use it.
Yeah. What's funny is later in the game you can ditch the yo-yo or whatever it is,
yeah, the yo-yo.
And then like you like develop like a rage Yakuza fighting style, and it's right. Just like it's more generic. It's just like, oh, I'm gonna hit you so hard, you know, stuff like that. And you have like flaming fists and kind of
right
thing.
Yeah.
So this is a very densely packed plot. Of hey, you're this guy. You have faked your death to protect these foster kids that you care about. It's funny because in the synopsis, it's like he faked his death in late 2016, and like that's the way you go, man.
Yeah.
You know, all these people got upset when Trump won the election. Like, I'm moving out of the country. It's like, no, fake your death.
Yeah,
that's the way.
Yeah.
That's the way you really protest.
That's the real way to do it. But
so he fakes his death. He works for this other group called the Daidoji. He's doing escort stuff. That's the initial mission where it's just like, I'll walk you home, ma'am.
Yeah.
And then he
signs up with this security team who, for some reason out of nowhere, don't like the way you look. And they're picking a fight, just like every movie from the 80s, like Cobra. Picking a fight with the wrong guy with glasses on.
Yeah.
And they just all of a sudden, people that are on your supposed security team are like, let's take care of this guy. Shocker.
Yes.
You beat them all up.
It becomes humorous because it's like, how are we going to contrive this into a fight scene? It's just,
yeah.
Like, it's just like, I like peas with rice. Huh, peas with rice? That doesn't seem right to me. Are you sure about that? And then it's like, oh well, we're fighting now.
Yeah, and he just, the thing is that he has to take his glasses off and put them in his front pocket. The dramatic beginning, you're like, here we go. Because he does it every single fight.
He does.
And you go, oh, there it goes. The glasses are in the pocket.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Let's get ready for some real Japanese beat-em-ups.
And, I mean, the other game that I thought about when I was playing this, and I think I brought it up too during Midnight Fight Express, is River City Ransom. A lot of River City Ransom elements to this, because you've got the shops where it's like, oh, I can have this this specific Japanese dish, and it will give me a boost to my punching ability, which is exactly a River City Ransom thing.
Haven't you heard? You know, spinach. Popeye's got his spinach. It makes his biceps five times larger than they should be.
Mm-hmm.
Like he pumps steroids right into his bicep.
Yep.
And
you get like a scallion pancake or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, those are so good. And,
especially when they're laying on the city street, you just pick them up. Adds that flavor.
Let's see. What else happens in this game? So anyway, you're doing this escort thing. It's a trap. There's this rival gang that has mysterious motives. They've kidnapped your friend, and then you're kind of on the trail of trying to find your kidnapped friend and doing work for this other rival organization. Fighting ensues.
Right.
There's punching. You can walk around town and just pick up fights with every random gang. Did you see that, Paul?
Should I poke holes? Should I say Breaking Bad this early in the episode?
I don't know. I feel like a Yakuza Breaking Bad game would have been so cool. It's like, Jesse, we need to cook. And it's like, whoa, Mr. White, there's like seven dudes we got to fight first. It's like, oh, you're right.
I tried to show Breaking Bad to my mom. For those of you that are listening, I came to New York to help my mom out because she broke her shoulder. But I'm here and I'm like, let's watch Breaking Bad. We can watch it from beginning to end. Third episode, she's out. You know, I was just noticing this, if, believe it or not, is how Jesse calls him Mr. White throughout the entire thing, like his high school teacher. And I was just like, Wow, that's pretty genius. I never thought about that. He always says, Mr. White.
Yeah. You can't break it, you
like
know?
They're just they make, you know, blue crystal blue you know, meth. But they still, you know, he's still got the respect of his high school teacher.
I
but
love
that was the that was the story of, like, I'm gonna walk you home, this puking 19-year-old. I'm gonna walk you home to protect you. And 10 guys come and decide to do or have their way with her, and you decide to beat them all up.
Yeah.
And then they realize who this woman is. Do you know who my father is? I would love to pull that card out. You know, just once in my life.
Yeah.
Do you know who I am?
It's funny. I was asking my wife. I'm like, okay, you love watching, like, you know, dramas from Japan and Korea. You like watching anime. You might enjoy watching Yakuza. She watches that initial scene. She's like, oh, I don't like this. I don't like this. You know, you better kick their butts. And I'm like, yeah, I think that's gonna happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And but, like, there's like that initial tension at the beginning of that scene, and you're like, this feels like
yeah.
So. And then it essentially becomes like, no, that's not what this game is. It's just going to be, we are just going to hang set pieces to contrive to be able to use the beat 'em up engine as much
right.
as possible.
Yeah, but, yeah. It's safe to say I'm not going to do good, bad, and ugly on this one, because it just was annoying that I picked this game.
I couldn't believe it when you did. I was like, I don't think he knows what he's in for.
I just was like, what are we doing here? Like, I couldn't get over myself. I was like, I can't believe I picked this. I appreciate the John Wickiness of the game, but sans getting your dog killed or your wife killed, but
yeah.
it just felt weird. It just the whole game was just like
the dog getting killed in this one is your male friend with glasses as well, who's like a little bit nerdier than you are.
Oh, well, they have to have a sidekick.
Yeah,
you know.
I will just lay on some praise for this game. This game's fun. If you like games like Shenmue, if you've played the Yakuza Like a Dragon series, you don't even need us. You don't even need to listen to this. You know what you're in for.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fun role-playing story elements. As you go later in the game, there's this thing called the Akame Network, and essentially there's a whole bunch of like little side quests you can do. There's a fun side quest where you're helping the homeless in one part of the area, and it's just like, these homeless are being mistreated. We're going to stop it. And it's, you know, and it's, guess what? How do you solve the problem? You solve it with your fists.
Right, of course. I mean, just, that's how every problem is solved.
I do like the voice acting. There's a couple of recognizable figures here. So there's two YouTubers that I listen to. One of them is Sungwon Cho, who plays this character named The Boss, who shows up later in the thing. He does a whole bunch of comedy sketches on YouTube.
Right.
The main guy is this guy whose YouTube channel is called Yang Ye. And I started following him because he was a big Metal Gear fan.
Okay.
So... And he talks like this. This is how he talks. This is how he does all of his video game reviews and news items. I listen to him all the time. It's absolutely amazing. He's wanted to be a voice actor. It's great that he's able to land a role just like this.
Yeah.
You know? It's a very distinctive voice. So I'm very happy for him.
His voice is interesting, the main character, in that he... His voice sounds as stiff as the graphics in the game.
Oh.
And it's... I mean that with the utmost respect. It's just that... if he saw the graphics first and was like, I'm going to sound like that guy, nailed it. Nailed it.
He's the character comes across as extremely serious, and I think Young Ye does a very good job of like... It's just like... I have no time for jokes.
Very intense. Humor. Every answer is long pauses, severely thought out, like as if he's talking to a tabloid, to ensure he doesn't incriminate himself. But yeah, that's all.
Part of my brain that manages humor has been surgically removed, turning me into the perfect weapon.
But luckily, the part of my brain that knows how to beat up other Japanese people in the street in midday in,
yes,
in Japan, fully intact.
You know, it's funny, the new Street Fighter game has that element to it as well. Of like that, like when we played a little bit of Street Fighter V, there's like the roaming. It's like, you want to fight me? You want to fight me in the middle of the street? And then you're like, yeah, I need to get this experience bar filled up. So let's go. Let's do it.
That's the other thing. That's the thing we were talking about how nobody seems to notice. Like, if a fight broke out, aside from the people with their phones, if a fight broke out in Midtown Manhattan, it wouldn't last like that. It wouldn't go down like
that. Though, to be fair to the game, like, will have people, like, who are watching, they'll just, like, clap after you beat them all up.
Great performance.
Like, thank you.
Great performance. Yes,
I put 6 men into the hospital.
Right.
You know, you're welcome.
I'd be like, oh, I'm just going to go about my day. You know?
So, and you know, Paul, I want to be clear. Not every game is going to be for everybody, right?
Right.
I talked about this before, I think a while back. I don't like eggs. I just don't like eggs. We went to Great Wolf Lodge the other day, and my wife is looking at the food that I got from the buffet, and she's like, you look like you got food that's off of a picture of what breakfast is supposed to look like. Why did you get eggs if you don't eat them? And I said, I don't know. I felt like I should get bacon because I'm a man. I got to get the bacon.
Right.
But the things I ate was I ate the cantaloupe. I ate the pineapple. I had a biscuit. I wasn't eating all the things that a stereotypical man in America,
right,
that's overweight.
It's what, it's what General Mills puts as a picture in their cereals. Part of this balanced breakfast.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going for. I'm like, well, it
it's
looks
always
great.
Like a glass of juice with it, you know?
My daughter, she got a biscuit, she got a cinnamon bun, she got a bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Everything that she had was brown.
You know. Go ahead.
All the brown food groups.
All the brown.
Yeah.
You know, your wife is a lot nicer than mine, because my wife, usually when there's a buffet and I come to the table, there's usually a look of disgust and horror at what's in my plate. And then
it
reminds me that my father died at 49.
Well, she'll get on my case if I overdo it with the saturated fat.
Oh, okay.
But she was more making fun of me because she's like, you don't even like that. Why did you get it? You're just pretending. You're just pretending.
I am being an example for our children.
No, I was like, I'm like, I'm trying to meet societal expectations for breakfast. You know, we
so much pressure.
It's hard being a man.
Yeah,
we have to look like we're eating eggs and bacon. We've got to keep this facade going.
Yeah, totally. Oh my goodness.
Do you want to talk about news?
Yeah, sure. Let's go into the news. Not for the news. I'm just going to piggyback off of what you got in the news, because I forgot to look up news.
Okay, so this has been an interesting week for Star Wars. I'm going to make fun of Paul for a second, because someone posted on Twitter, formerly known as X, whatever.
Yeah.
And it was like, hey, how many of you guys remember this awesome game? And Paul's like, I don't know what this is. Should I? And it was the old first-person shooter of Dark Forces, which was the first big FPS game that was set in the Star Wars universe.
Okay.
And it was a great game. It came out in the mid-90s. It's been recently re-released on modern systems. And so it looks like Doom, but it just was Star
Wars. Yeah, that's what it looked like to me.
Yeah.
you know, people who claim that this is a game that broke the barrier, and then they put it up and it just looks like Castle Wolfenstein or Doom or, you know, I go, okay, I don't know. Did it, is it, you know, I'm not denying people's, so much goes into people's background. Like, I love The Last of Us, but I'm leaving out, and it's a great, and so do millions of people. But I'm leaving out a component that happened. I had cancer. You know what I mean? So, like, people, they review things, and then they go, this is close to my heart, because, but that's why it makes it a great game. You know, or that's why it had meaning. And that bumps it up a tick for people. So, I'm not shitting on, what's his name? Evil Foo. Is his handle? He's gonna kill me.
Oh, we're blowing him up.
Okay. No, I don't know. I don't even know if I got the name right. I just know who he is. He's gonna kill me because I'm not gonna shit on the game, but because that's his experience, and maybe it is a great game.
Yeah.
I never heard of it. I've never played it. It doesn't mean it's horrible. Yep. It just means I never did those things.
Yeah. It is, and for me, my background of it is I played Dark Forces, and it was 1995. It was at a period where Star Wars still had a lot of its mystique, and a lot of its it was still like a huge property. This was pre the prequels
and pre Disney.
It was way before the Disney acquisition, and it was also during a time that it was developed by Lucas. It was LucasArts, which was their own game studio. And a lot of the stuff that LucasArts had put out was, you know, was great. One of those was Monkey Island, which, you know, we played the remake or the new one of. Neither of us really cared for it, but a lot of that stuff was very groundbreaking for the time.
Right.
I mean, yes, it looks like Doom. I mean, essentially, it's a licensed Star Wars game that's first person.
Right.
And it was cool because it had all the sound effects from Star Wars and all the music from Star Wars. And like, I mean, I've never gone back to it. It's just, it was really, really good in that moment.
Right.
It was just like, you know, just like when 1999 was around and it was The Matrix had come out and it was like the hottest thing at that moment.
Right.
This thing was very, very hot in the moment that it was. So I can imagine, depending on your own personal experience, like, you know, that's great. For me, it was the sequel that really was important to me was there was Dark Forces 2. That was the Jedi one. But anyway, that came out this week, and it also came out that EA has planned on cutting another big chunk of their employees. Another
round
of
layoffs. Yeah, I saw that. So this but that like, seems to be almost every other game company.
Yeah, I think it's the second round of layoffs that EA has had this year or in the last year. It's kind of insane.
Right.
And
it's funny to me, EA, you know, we're not talking like this, you know, game studio that's like Play Dead, you know, or, you know, this is a massive, massive outfit that cranks out Madden every year and, you know, that copy, should I say copy and paste Madden every year.
That's right.
I'm just jealous they make billions of dollars off of it, and I don't say it. The easiest gig, but having no knowledge of video game development whatsoever, nobody should listen to me. But
I think it's all a matter of, like, with so many things, following the money. EA is a publicly traded company. You can purchase stock of it, and so with anything that has, like, a shareholder incentive, you've got to be able to show that you're maintaining profitability. And the fastest way to show you're profitable is by showing how you've cut costs. And the easiest way to cut costs is to cut people.
Yeah.
And so this is just more of that. Is EA running out of money? No, they're loaded. And you know, I'm looking at like the Screen Rant article about how, yes, they are cutting people. They've canceled a Mandalorian based Star Wars game, but they're still focusing on the stuff that makes money. So like the Jedi Survivor, Jedi Fallen Order, they're making another game in that series.
Oh, okay.
That's the Cal Kestis game where it's just takes place, I think, before New Hope, but after Revenge of the Sith.
See, this is why I don't follow Star Wars anymore. There's just too much to remember to the story that there's 9 films outside of The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I don't know what order to watch these in anymore. I don't even... I can't follow...
There's been like 12 or so Star Trek movies, and I mean, I'm a huge... I was a huge Star Wars fan, too, and I feel like they've lost a lot of their mystique, I mean, with the sequels, you know, particularly, even though, I mean, the prequels got, you know, slammed a lot critically as well.
Right.
The sequel trilogy, I think, failed in a more spectacular way of having a true lack of imagination in it.
Maybe. And, I mean, you know what didn't help? When I saw the Star Wars A New Hope, when the remastered version came in the theater, you know what didn't help? Sitting in front of some guy going, oh, that's fake. Oh, that's fake. Oh, that's not real. I felt like, mm-hmm. You know what's not real? People breathing in space.
Yeah.
Vacuums where explosions happen. Mm-hmm. That's not real either. We're watching a movie. Shut up.
Yeah.
I love it when people say that. They're like, oh, that would never happen. It's like, yeah, you know what would never happen? George Clooney and Sandra Bullock. Spacewalking. Mm-hmm. That would never happen.
We need a Breaking Bad in space Star Wars series. That should you know. That, I think that would be good.
They're you making just, Vince Gilligan should just write everything here on out. That's it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it goes back to what I was saying about expectations. I think people have these expectations. Perfect example: Skull and Bones. Here's a game that's been in development for over 10 years.
Yeah.
And it finally comes out, and people are like, what the fuck is this crap? Like, just... The reason it has a 7 rating for me is because the sea battles are amazing. Like, they obviously put a lot of time in fighting at sea.
Yeah.
Outside of that, there's no swashbuckling. There's nothing that you would know pirates are famous for. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. It ruins the mystique. It ruins the mystique. It's like when Disney did all of the Pirates of the Caribbean. You know, we're talking about a group of people. You know how bad pirates smell? Like, there's no toilet paper. There's no showers. But here comes this Keith Richards character.
Mm-hmm.
That Johnny Depp nails perfectly, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
As this charming, romantic... Who wants to kiss that mouth? Like, just... I don't know. Sorry. I don't even know where I'm going.
I think that... Yeah, Skull and Bones should have had more of a realistic simulator to show you just vomiting from seasickness. And just, like, it's like... There's a little bit more. Keep tapping X.
The vomometer.
Get it all out.
No, I think this is not a Skull and Bones review. I don't think we'll ever get to that. But I think that the problem is that they put a lot of emphasis on it being online. And there's no story. I think if it had a story that people could play and ignore the online, which is pretty much what I do with every game, I just ignore multiplayer at this point. Because whenever I go multiplayer, it's always me dying to some 8-year-old in Germany. You know, way too fast. Because it's not fun. 10 years, I mean, I could have made a game in 10 years. And I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, what are we playing next week, Paul?
I don't know.
Legit question. What are we playing?
What did he say?
Do you want to keep playing the game I asked you to play?
Sure.
I don't know if we want to tell them. Do you want to keep doing it?
Yeah. I mean, you're telling me that there's twists, plot twists.
I'm telling
twists
you it gets
are...
better.
Okay.
I'm telling it's a lot of talking.
I'm not gonna mention that I fell asleep twice playing this game.
Yeah. So how about we now announce what we're playing next week?
Okay.
And then when Paul's just like, I've had it, John. I don't care. I don't care if it's got the cure for cancer at the end of the game. I am not playing this through. We can play something else.
It's Doki Literature Club.
Yes.
And that's the game that we are going to play. Or so, guys, playing.
It's Dad's Game Review on Twitter. At Dad's Game Review, and you tell him, like, you're crazy to not be playing Doki Doki Literature Club. You got to play it at least once.
Okay. And skip.
And then you can at John Everson D20. You can say thank you. And
tell him how right he was. Dad's
Game Review to tell them to play Doki Doki Literature Club.
Oh, man. Well,
sorry, did I kill your plug?
No, that's fine. I got new plugs. I'm bored.
Just beating up on Paul today. I'm sorry, guys. He doesn't deserve it.
I deserve it because I feel like I had way too many comments that hold no merit whatsoever.
What? No. No, these are like sturdy ships. They hold one. Each one is a sturdy vessel.
Sure. Right. Arr.
No, but there will be no swashbuckling. Oh. There will be no swashbuckling on this run.
Because my soundboard isn't working.
Oh, one last thing. I beat Prince of Persia.
Oh, okay.
Outside of Dad's Game Review. And I will say, I stand by my review. It's still great. Though there is a plot hole, and if you finish the game, you will know what I'm talking about. You'll be like, whatever happened to so-and-so? And it's like, oh, they died, apparently. And it's like, oh, really? When? Not off screen.
It sounds like most
somehow
of the...
Sargon knows they died, but that is like, can't believe the blah, blah, blah died. It's like, really? So can I. Because you did such a good job of establishing every single other character in the game, and you just dropped the ball on this one.
It sounds like every conversation with my mom. So... Oh, they're dead now. Oh, okay.
Oh, gosh. Terrible.
All right. Well, thanks, John, for joining me for this talk. And we'll talk again, I guess. See you next week.
See you next week, guys.